This is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRX in collaboration with GBH News in Boston.
I'm Janae Pierre, filling in for Melissa Harris-Perry. It's good to be with you. It's been nearly 10 years since Colorado and Washington became the first states to legalize marijuana for recreational use. Since that watershed moment in 2012, 17 more states, two territories, and Washington, D.C. have legalized recreational marijuana use. Medicinal marijuana is legal in nearly 40 states. 10 years in, we asked you what you thought about legalization efforts.
This is Patricia Blahoviak from East Cleveland, Ohio. Prohibition didn't work for alcohol, and it isn't working for marijuana.
Hi, this is Mitch calling from Boston, Massachusetts. I'm a child of the Nixon and Nancy Reagan era. I like weed. But even when I go into a legal dispensary, I still feel guilty.
Hi, this is Fee from Philadelphia, and I am vehemently objectionable to recreational marijuana, given that I ride a motorcycle, and on any occasion, driving down the road or the highway, I can smell just about every other car recreationally toking away, if you will.
As always, thanks for calling to share your thoughts. In November, citizens in five states, Maryland, North Dakota, South Dakota, Missouri, and Arkansas, will vote on marijuana legalization measures. To understand the continuing effort to legalize marijuana, I went to someone who's been covering it.
Hi, I'm Bruce Barcott, senior editor for news and investigations at Leafly.com.
And I started by asking Bruce how he felt as a resident of Washington State about the differences between voting for marijuana legalization in 2012 versus now.
You know, 10 years ago, I was very much on the fence. I was the undecided voter in Washington State in 2012. I really hadn't given much thought to marijuana or legalization, really, and since college. And I had two young teenagers. I had a lot of concerns about legalizing and what would happen if we chose to do so. And I was a voter. I was convinced to vote yes at the last minute by a friend who had some pretty good arguments in favor of it. So I voted yes, but I also I started taking notes as a writer because I was I wanted to see what happened with this kind of amazing pilot project in Washington and Colorado. I held my nose, voted yes, took notes, ended up writing a book about it, and here I am 10 years later still writing about marijuana legalization.
And crazy how time flies, right?
Right. Yeah, it is kind of amazing.
Does the real fight for legalization come in getting these measures on the ballot or when we see citizens come to the polls on Election Day?
Yeah, you know, as opposed to 10 years ago, it really is a battle before and after the election nowadays with legalization measures. We've got five measures on the ballot in November this year, and we expect all five of them to pass pretty handily. Once you get a legalization measure on the ballot, it's probably going to pass. You almost have to write an actively bad measure to have it fail. And what's happened then is that opponents of legalization have really taken the fight to the pre-election and post-election systems. The pre-election is in terms of we've seen a number of states make it actually much more difficult to put a citizens initiative on the ballot. We've seen a lot of court challenges once those petitions have been handed in and certified. And then after elections, we see a number of court challenges that sometimes do work. South Dakota, they had their legalization law nullified a couple of years ago due to a court challenge led by the governor there.
What does polling show us about the feelings around legalizing marijuana?
Nationally, we have seen a steady creep upwards in terms of support for legalization, and not just medical legalization, but full adult use legalization. We're seeing regular numbers in the 60 to 65% range for full adult use legalization and up over 90% for medical legalization. But then it's interesting when you get to the state level and people actually look at it on their ballot measure. We're seeing pretty similar support in most states. I know Missouri and Arkansas, I think we're seeing pre-election polling in roughly the 60% range. It's a tighter race in South Dakota, though, I think.
Mm-hmm. Let's stay there for a bit. I mean, is this issue more partisan or generational, you think?
Well, this is a really unique issue because it is not so much a partisan issue. I mean, you know, in national polling, we see that Democrats generally support legalization more than Republicans, but it's not an either or kind of issue. We see the split more along generational lines. I think the younger the voter, the more likely they are to support legalization. At this point, really the only age group that is actually has less than 50% support for legalization are voters who are 75 years old or older.
And what about demographic differences?
That we see that's a little bit closer, and it's hard to parse in terms of national a national look. It's the demographic differences aren't that aren't as wide as you might think. I mean, we have there's one poll out that has support among church-going Americans up over 50% for legalization.
You know, I guess at times like this, it's not about the black, it's not about white, it's not about brown, it's about green here, apparently.
Well, it is about green, but it is also about, you know, black, brown, and white. One of the reasons, you know, back 10 years ago that my vote swung in favor of legalization was the argument that my friend brought to me, which was like, look, you don't have to think about or worry about this issue because you're a middle-aged white guy. And for people of color, this is a real fear out there. I mean, people of color are, especially black people in America, are four times more likely to be stopped and arrested for marijuana than white people. And that's a nationwide average. It's much worse in some districts. So that really made me look into the issue a little more and think a little deeper about how I was casting my vote and how we were going about enforcing these laws in ways that were really inequitable. And that's what really swung my vote. And I think that's what swings the vote of a number of people. The money issue doesn't come in. It's sort of a secondary issue. I mean, it's nice to have tax revenue from cannabis, but yeah, for most people, that's not really the primary reason they're voting for it.
So let's talk about the five states with marijuana on the ballot next month. With the exception of Maryland, the states considering these measures are not coastal states, and they're seen, in fact, as more conservative. It's taken 10 years, but what's brought these states to finally consider legalization?
Yeah, it's funny. Legalization has been a movement that started on the West Coast, jumped to the East Coast, and now is making its way inward to the American heartland. I think that you know, these states, the folks in these states have watched how it's worked out in the coastal regions, and it's worked out pretty well. You know, the pillars of society have not fallen. There's not been a rise in teen use in states that have legalized. A number of these states also have had their own experience, and it's been a generally a positive one, with medical marijuana. You know, in Missouri and Arkansas, those are places where medical marijuana has been there for a while, and people have come to have a certain level of comfort with that.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned medicinal marijuana happening in Arkansas and Missouri, and also North Dakota and South Dakota will see. We'll see this legislation. We'll see marijuana legalization there on the ballot as well. Now, in North Dakota, their measure would allow adults 21 and older to own an ounce of the drug or at least three marijuana plants. Is that on par with other state measures?
Yeah, it is. Generally, you know, 1 ounce is what we see as sort of the standard for most legalization laws, 1 ounce for personal possession. And then it's generally somewhere between three and six plants for personal home growing. And it's funny, home growing has become a really interesting issue. Some states include it, some states don't. I mean, famously in my world, Washington State does not allow home grow. New Jersey does not allow home grow. And I'm not sure why that is. I mean, there's just where home grow has been allowed, there really has not been a massive boom in folks, you know, growing massive plants in their backyards. It's fun. It's, it's, you know, it's like they're growing tomatoes and they have a little harvest, you know, in September, October every year, but that's that's about it.
Is that surprising or no?
Surprising that, that they're growing it or surprising that states don't allow it?
That they're growing it.
Oh no, not surprising at all. I mean, it's a fun plant to grow. It grows quickly, and especially you know when you get into the summer months, and it's a fun plant. It's I mean, honestly, it's a beautiful little plant. Those leaves are kind of cool.
Actually, I have a neighbor who has a marijuana plant, and I pass it every day, and I'm like, look how beautiful that is.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it is sometimes we, you know, we cover this area every day and sometimes we are reminded that what we're talking about is a plant. I mean, the people who are growing it are farmers, the people who are doing research on it are botanists. And it is a really, really fascinating plant.
Yeah. Let's look quickly at South Dakota. Now, this is not their first time trying to vote on this. Any reasons as to why it was more successful this go around?
Well, it's interesting. This is one of those where the battle was fought after the election last time around. A few years ago, South Dakota passed a full adult use legalization measure. And the governor of that state and some others challenged the law because the technicality that said, I believe it was a constitutional amendment, and in their state, constitutional amendments can only cover one subject. Well, they argued that legalizing and regulating were two different subjects, and the state court went along with it. And so here we are voting on it again. And this time around, we're only voting on legalization in South Dakota. If they legalize in South Dakota, it will be legal to possess, but it won't be legal to buy or sell.
Oh, wow.
Marijuana.
That's interesting.
So you'll have to magically make it appear if you want it in South Dakota. Yeah, I mean, the idea there is, I think if you legalize it, then the state legislature hopefully would come in and pass a law with some reasonable ways to regulate and allow people to sell it legally.
Yeah, setting up dispensaries and such.
Yeah.
So it's not just states that are considering marijuana ballot measures. There are also cities that are voting as well, right? Now, in the instance of cities, the votes have to do with depenalization, as in Texas, and decriminalization, as in Ohio. What do these more local and municipal votes tell us?
What they tell us is that in states that really that haven't yet legalized, like Texas, like Ohio, a number of cities are, you know, if they say that states are the laboratory of democracy, then cities are the laboratories of state democracy. I think we see a number of people in cities trying to take a lead and say, we're going to decriminalize in our city. And what that usually means is, if that measure passes, it sends a message to the local law enforcement agencies that says, look, we are making marijuana law enforcement in this city the lowest priority. We have better ways to spend our time and our tax dollars. So, you know, stop arresting people, you know, for having a joint on them in their pocket or something like this. And that's kind of one of the many roots of statewide legalization was back in the day. A number of cities, you know, starting with places like San Francisco and Seattle, pass laws that said, look, we are making this the lowest priority for our law enforcement agencies.
Bruce Barcott, senior editor at Leafly, thanks for joining us today.
Sure, been a pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.